Matthew 19, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of the Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." "Why then," they asked, "did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send him away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard. But it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery." The disciples said to him, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, is it better not to marry?" Jesus replied, "Not everyone can accept this word, but only those to whom it has been given. For some are eunuchs, because they were born that way. Others were made that way by men, and others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. The one who can accept this should accept it." Amen.
Now, over the last few weeks, as we've been looking through Matthew's gospel, we've been looking at, well, how do we live now that we're part of Christ's kingdom? How do we live here on earth? And Jesus has been dealing with situations that are very real to us. And praise God that his word is so relevant. And so we've looked at, you know, how do we deal with authority, secular authorities, in the light of the fact that we're in and part of Christ's kingdom? How do we view greatness? What do we do when a Christian sins? How on earth do we forgive other people? And this is so practical because these are issues that touch our lives day by day. And yet they're really sensitive issues because they touch our lives day by day. And we can all think of very real situations where these issues apply. And as we come now to Matthew 19 and Jesus' teaching on divorce and on marriage, it's no different. It's a very real issue, but it's also sensitive and difficult for us because we're all aware of people who have been affected by this. Perhaps you have been affected by this subject yourself, or people who are close to you. And it's difficult and it's hard and it's often painful. But let me say at the outset, as we look at what Jesus teaches then on marriage and divorce, we will never cover every situation that relates to divorce in this half an hour that we've got now. It will be impossible. And in fact, every situation is unique and complex and involves different people. And so we're not just going to be able to cover every situation. And so if we're there thinking tonight, well, what's the right and wrongs of any particular situation that we can think of in our minds? We're probably not going to deal with it here. That is something that needs to be dealt with on an individual basis, on a personal level. But what we do want to do tonight, as Spence has already said as he's been leading, is we do want to engage with God's word and engage with what the Lord Jesus does teach on this subject, on marriage and divorce, and see what he says is right and wrong, and take the principles as well that Jesus gives and seek to live in that way. So let's look at this passage in Matthew chapter 19 on marriage and divorce. And firstly, notice that biblical marriage is God's design. Biblical marriage is God's design. And actually, before we come to the subject of divorce, we must understand the subject of marriage and what is biblical marriage. Biblical marriage is God's design. Jesus has just come to the end of his fourth great chunk of teaching in Matthew's Gospel. And so in verse 1, when he'd finished saying these things, he left Galilee to go to Judea. He's on his way from the north down to the south and eventually to Jerusalem, where he will go to the cross and die on the cross. And as crowds are hearing of his fame and hearing of all the miracles that he can do, they follow him and he heals some of them there. But then in verse 3, some Pharisees come, as they often did, and they came to test him. And they ask him this question about divorce. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? This is really important to note what the Pharisees are doing here as we think about Jesus' teaching and we consider what he says. They are here, they're out to catch Jesus out. They are trying to test him. They're not asking this question with good motives. And so they come asking this question on divorce, hoping that they might catch him out and trick him. It was a hot topic of the day, and it would have been debated amongst the Jewish leaders. And it was based on some ambiguity around Moses' instructions in Deuteronomy 24. When is divorce permissible? And some would say it was strictly only in the case of adultery, while others would have had a more liberal view and said, well, you can divorce for any reason. If your wife displeases you, even if it's a bad meal, divorce is acceptable. And so the Pharisees, it's a hot topic in the day, and they're out to catch Jesus out. But notice that before answering this question on divorce, well, he doesn't answer the question directly first time. Before teaching about divorce, Jesus first teaches them about marriage and goes back to the principles and the fundamental principles about what biblical marriage is. Now, if your phone rings and you pick it up and you suspect it's a scam caller, you don't answer their questions directly. You might ask them testing questions and try and flush them out as a scam caller. And that's what Jesus, he's doing here first. He's not going to answer their question directly in the first instance. They're out to test him. And so firstly, he deals with the subject of marriage. So the Pharisees are testing Jesus, but Jesus then, he wants them to understand first what marriage is before talking about divorce. There's a bigger problem here that they haven't understood the purpose and God's design in marriage. And so he quotes to them from the Bible. He says, haven't you read? What does the Bible say? And he goes all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. And he says, in a perfect world, this is what God says about marriage. God designed marriage, he instituted marriage in a perfect world. Before Adam and Eve sinned, marriage was instituted by God. He instituted marriage as to be a relationship, a union, a lifelong union between one man and one woman for life. That's what biblical marriage is. And so Eve was made for Adam. Do you remember Adam had all of the animals pass before him in the garden and there wasn't found a helper suitable for him? And so God, in a perfect world, created Eve, and marriage then was that relationship between one man and one woman for life. And Jesus says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, quoting from Genesis 2. What happens when two people get married? Well, there are two families, and a husband and a wife will be joined together. A man and a woman will be joined together from those two families, and they form one new family unit. Two families become one. Two people become one as they form this union in marriage. They leave their family. They leave their families to form this new family, and they become one flesh. There is sexual intimacy in that relationship between that man and that woman. And as the Bible describes marriage, it describes marriage as a covenant between two people. Two people promise and commit to one another for life. They make promises before God that they will be committed to each other for life. And just as in the Bible, when covenants came into being, there would be promises and then often followed by a sign. And you can think of our own covenants that we have in our country. If you promise to buy a house, you make the promise, but then you sign. You literally give your signature. There's a sign of that promise as you sign to buy that house. So marriage is two people, a man and a woman, making vows, a commitment to each other before God. And there's then a sign of that commitment as they join together in sexual union, unique to a marriage. So Jesus says, as the Pharisees come testing him, you have to understand marriage first, between one man and one woman for life. And divorce is not the design in God's perfect world. Marriage is God's design. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In a perfect world, marriage is God's design, not divorce. And God, in his wisdom, thousands of years before Christ would come and die on the cross and win for himself a bride, God, in his wisdom, made marriage a picture of what Christ, the relationship between Christ and the church. And Paul in Ephesians 5, he also refers back to Genesis and says, I'm talking about the relationship between Christ and the church. Marriage is God's design, and in his wisdom, he has made that a picture of the relationship between Christ and his church. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved his church and gave himself for her. Christ sacrificially died, went to the cross for his church. And that's how us husbands, we're to love our wives. And wives are to submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. What God has joined together, a marriage between a man and a woman is a joining together that God has brought together. And in a perfect world, this is God's design. Don't separate that. And so for those of you who are married, those of us who are married, work hard at your marriage. Work hard at your marriage. It is a picture of Christ and the church. It is God's created order. So work hard at your marriage above any other relationship that you have with another person. Work hard at your marriage. Now, do what it says. At the end of chapter 18, last week, we looked at forgiveness. Be quick to forgive one another in that marriage relationship. Do all you can to protect your marriage. Biblical marriage is God's design, and that has to be understood first before we look at this question of divorce. But the Pharisees press him in verse 7 as Jesus has given this teaching on marriage. And secondly, we see that divorce is never required, but is sometimes permissible. Divorce is never required, but is sometimes permissible in verses 7 to 9. The Pharisees press Jesus and they ask him, why then? They asked, did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And they're alluding to Deuteronomy chapter 24, where Moses gives instructions on marriage and divorce and remarriage. But they misunderstand what Moses is saying, because notice in verse 7, they ask, why did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce? Moses did not command that anyone get divorced. This is what Moses said in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1. If a man marries a woman who becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, gives it to her, and sends her away from his house, and then it goes on. Do you see, Moses is saying, look, if this situation has occurred where someone has got married, and if then they've got divorced, he's not commanding it, he's saying, if the situation has arisen, therefore, this is then how they're to live. And he gives instructions in terms of remarriage, actually to protect the woman who's been wronged in that situation. So the Pharisees come and they allude back to Moses and say, why did Moses command that the man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? But what is Moses doing in Deuteronomy 24? Well, we've been looking at Deuteronomy in the mornings, and we see that Moses is giving instructions to God's people who he has rescued, as to how they are to live in the world. How are God's people to live in this world? How are God's people to live in this world which is fallen and sinful? How are we to live in a world where so often it's our own sin that causes a great deal of mess and heartache? And this is really, really key to the context. Moses is giving instructions for how to live in a fallen world. And Jesus picks up on that in verse 8. Moses permitted it, didn't command it, but permitted divorce because your hearts were hard. And the point is this. We live in a fallen, sinful world. This is not, we don't live in a perfect world before the fall. We live in a world that is spoiled by sin, so often our own sin. And so God, in his wisdom, gives instruction as to how to live in that fallen world. Why do we need instructions on how to forgive one another? It's because we live in a fallen world. In a perfect world, that wouldn't be needed. And so Jesus says here, Moses is giving instructions on how we're to live in a fallen world. And we're all used to the idea of, well, we've made the best of a bad job. And so at work, perhaps something's gone wrong in a project months in advance, and you're left with a situation, and you take steps to rectify that situation. It's not how you design it. It's not how you deal with it. But you've made the best with the circumstances that you'd be given, that you've been given. And in some kind of way, that is what Jesus is talking about here. This is not a perfect world. We do not live in a perfect world. And so God, in his goodness and his kindness to us, gives us commands as to how we're to deal with living in an imperfect world. And although marriage is the union of a man and a woman for life, sometimes there are situations where divorce is permissible in an imperfect world where we live surrounded by sin. Jesus is saying there are some occasions where divorce is allowed and permissible. It's not required. It's not ideal. It's not promoted or encouraged. But in some cases, divorce is not sin. Not ideal, but in some cases, it's not sin. And perhaps some Christians, perhaps who have been through difficult circumstances in their past, perhaps feel looked down on because of what's happened in the past. And they think other Christians are looking down on them because of their past situation. And perhaps we're tempted to look down on others because of what's gone on in their life in the past. But can I say we should never look down on others and their difficult past and their difficult, even sinful past? We should never look down at others and say they're somehow lesser than us because of what's happened in the past. For a start, we are all sinners in need of God's grace. And particularly here, there may be circumstances, not all cases, but there are circumstances where the divorce is permissible, and it would be so wrong to look down on others and to make others feel small because of what has happened in their past. Sometimes, then, divorce is permissible. Jesus allows it in some circumstances. So Jesus says, Moses permitted it because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. But then verse 9, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. Jesus here does seem to allow divorce in certain circumstances. When there's marital unfaithfulness, divorce is still not required, but it is permitted, except for marital unfaithfulness. What is Jesus saying here when he talks about marital unfaithfulness? Well, it's probably slightly wider than just simple cases of adultery. It would refer to illicit sexual activity. And Jesus is saying in that situation, Jesus seems to give permission and say divorce is permissible when there's been marital unfaithfulness. What is it that's most unique about a marriage compared to any other relationship that you have on earth? Well, it's the sexual intimacy that you enjoy with your spouse. And so what happens when there's unfaithfulness in that marriage is actually the covenant of marriage is already broken by the action. And so in that situation, Jesus seems to say that divorce is permissible. Now, allow me just to comment quickly on the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, because he also teaches on divorce, and he seems to give a second reason. And this is in the context where the gospel is going out and people are being converted, and one spouse, either the husband or the wife, has been converted, but their spouse remains unconverted. And in a situation where one has been converted and one not, and the one who is still an unbeliever is not willing to remain in that marriage relationship with the believer, Paul seems to allow divorce in that situation where there's desertion of the unbelieving spouse. And as an aside, probably cases of abuse would come under that category. So divorce is never required, but it is sometimes permissible in some circumstances. But then the question is, well, what about remarriage? Is that allowed? Is remarriage permissible? Well, as we think about remarriage, firstly note how Jesus and actually Paul and Moses seem to talk about divorce and remarriage. As they talk about it in the Bible, divorce is the termination of the marriage. The marriage has ended, whether it's for a reason that's permitted in the Bible or not. They seem to use that language where divorce is divorce. It is the ending of marriage, whether it's allowed permissible in the Bible or not. Remarriage is entering a new covenant with another person, whether or not the divorce was permissible and whether or not the remarriage should be permissible. There is still that new covenant between those two people. That's what Moses and Jesus and Paul seem to teach on this subject. So what's Jesus saying here when he says in verse 9, anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery. He's probably not saying that in God's eyes they're still married and so therefore it's adultery. Now what he seems to be saying is where divorce has happened And it shouldn't have happened, because it wasn't biblically permissible. Any remarriage that takes place begins in adultery, because that person should have still been married and the divorce shouldn't have happened. And it would follow, and it would seem, that Jesus and Paul, both here and in 1 Corinthians 7, then give freedom. If the divorce was permissible, there does seem to be freedom for that person to remarry in the Lord, and that is permissible and allowed. This is so difficult, as we've said already. It touches so many of our lives. We all know people who have been through marriage and divorce, and perhaps very painful for some of us. And it's so different to what society would teach. Society would teach, well, if it's not working out, if it's tough, that's it. End it, get divorced, and be free. And of course, unbelievers don't know anything better. And we do expect that from them. They don't know God and his teaching and his grace. And so we expect that from those in the world. But this is difficult, and it is so so different from society. And what are we to do if, as we hear this teaching of Jesus and we're affected by it and perhaps even convicted of past issues, and maybe in our minds think what I've done in the past wasn't right, what am I to do? How do I rectify this? How do I deal with this as I live today? And perhaps if we've been through that situation and we look at our past and think, I regret what I've done in the past, and it seems to not be permissible by God's word, how do I deal with it now? Well, the answer is not to break up any marriage that you're in now or any relationship that you're in now and try and get back and remarry that person. What's happened in the past is done, and we all have things that we regret and wish we could undo. It can't be undone. And so the solution is not to break up relationships that we have now because we feel that what we've done in the past is wrong. No, the solution, as with all sin, is again come to Christ at the cross and find forgiveness in Christ at the cross. And what a relief that is for us. For any sin that we have, we can come to Christ again at the cross and find forgiveness and know that he has dealt with our sin on the cross. What are we to do? We're to go to Christ on the cross, repent, and we say, from this day forward, I'm going to seek to live faithfully in obedience with what Christ teaches in this passage. We can't change the past. We can't undo what we regret in the past. But we can, with God's help, seek to live faithfully today in accordance with what Jesus is teaching. So we repent, we turn to the cross where there is forgiveness from sin, and we seek from this day forward, whatever our circumstances are now, today, we seek to live faithfully from this day forward. So biblical marriage is God's design. Divorce is never required, but sometimes permissible. But thirdly, God enables some to remain single. God enables some to remain single. The disciples ask the question, and really it gives away how difficult and how hard this teaching of Jesus is. It is not easy to follow, and certainly society doesn't follow it. As they come and ask Jesus, if this is the situation, it's better not to marry. You know, if marriage is this hard, if the restrictions that you're putting on it is, you know, if it's this hard, let's just not marry and stay as we are. It perhaps also gives away the standards of marriage at the time, that this is perhaps shocking to the disciples as they hear this. And so their solution is to say, well, it's better not to marry. And Jesus says that in verse 11, in response to what the disciples say, not everyone can accept this word, but only to whom it has been given. Not everyone is able to live by what the disciples say and not marry. In fact, most of us don't live by that. Most of us do get married. Not everyone lives and is able to not marry. But Jesus says that some are enabled to live and not marry. And he's not saying that one way is better or worse than the other. It's not a higher calling to be married or a higher calling to be single. He's not putting one over the other, but he's saying some are able to accept not being married. But for the most of us, marriage is the way that we will live. And he gives three reasons why some might choose not to be married in verse 12. For some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Perhaps they've got some defect from birth, some genetic defect which causes them to not be able to enjoy all the benefits of marriage. Some were born that way. Some were made that way by men. Perhaps here talking about an injury or castration in the day, some would have been brought to work in the king's harems, and it wouldn't have been possible for them. Some were born, some were made that way, but some choose that way in order to serve Christ, not better, but with more liberty. Others have renounced marriage because of the kingdom of heaven. Some have chosen singleness in order to serve Christ with more liberty, without the cares of a spouse and children. And so if we're someone tonight that's able to say, well, I don't need to be married for whatever reason, and Jesus gives three reasons here, well, that is fine. And we serve God in the situation that we're in. And the one who can accept this should do it and should live in that way, serving God. But for most of us, that's not the case. And for those of us who that's not the case, we're to listen carefully to Jesus' teaching on marriage and divorce. It is serious teaching. It's God's design. It's a picture of Christ and the church. It's serious, and it's to be followed. So as we finish, this is hard teaching. It's not easy. It is so countercultural. It's the opposite of what the world is telling us out there. And so as we conclude, to those who are unmarried, if you can accept it, that's fine, that's good. You serve the Lord in the situation that you're in. But if the desire is there, that's also fine and that's also good. But consider carefully Jesus' teaching on marriage. And when the day comes, when you are married, follow this teaching. It's hard, it's tough. But remember that marriage is God's design from the beginning, to be faithful to one person, a man or a woman, for life. To those of us who are married, fight, fight, fight for your marriage above any other relationship that you have here on earth. Keep that relationship with your spouse. This is the teaching to follow. Remember that God's design from the beginning in a perfect world was for one man and one woman for life. And we live in such a broken world. If we can do anything that shows what a good world looks like, and marriage is something that we can do and show what a perfect world was like, let's do that and model a good creation order. It's God's design. Let's demonstrate to a broken world the relationship that Christ has with his church. Love your spouse and fight hard for your marriage. Stay married. And to those who perhaps have a messy past, perhaps even a messy present, A past that you wish you could forget, a past that you regret, and that you wish you could change. Well, what are we to do? Well, praise God that there is forgiveness at the cross, and seek from this day forward to live in obedience with Christ's command on marriage and divorce.